This is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm Celeste Headlee. Michelle Martin is away. Coming up, Oliver Tuku Umtukudzi is a legend not just in his native Zimbabwe, but all over the world. He's 60 years old and he's now put out more albums than he's had birthdays. He joins us in studio for a very special performance chat. He'll talk about the tragedy that inspired his latest album, and he'll play some songs for us as well. That's in just a few minutes. But first, we want to continue this discussion about immigration. We've heard a lot about the millions of undocumented immigrants who are living in the U.S. In fact, their future is now one of the most high-profile issues in Congress. But a lot less is said about the immigrants who are trying to follow the law and the struggle they face to get citizenship or even permanent resident status. To learn more about why this is, we're joined by Tamar Jacoby. She's the president and CEO of Immigration Works USA. And also joining us is Eduardo de Souza. He's the associate head soccer coach at Longwood University in Virginia. He's been living in the U.S. since 1999 on a series of visas. Welcome to both of you.
Hello. Good to be here.
Hello. Good morning.
Tamar, let me begin with you. How is it that the debate over immigration has focused so much on undocumented immigrants, and we've kind of left those who've applied for citizenship or permanent resident in the dust?
I think the people who are here without any status at all are so much more of a problem. 11 million people living in our midst but not part of our society. Whatever your political values are, that's a problem. If you're worried about the rule of law, it's a problem. If you're worried about human rights, it's a problem. Mr. D'Souza, who we'll talk to in a minute, he's got some problems, but he's caught in a bureaucratic system. He's not left out of society. So I think the important thing is we think about the problem. Of course, his problem needs to get fixed too. This is not an either or. You will hear some people say, you know, help people like Mr. D'Souza and fix that before you fix the 11 million unauthorized. That's not the right approach. We can do both in this country. We can get the system working so that we don't create any more people like D'Souza and Mr. D'Souza, and we don't create any more people like the unauthorized living in the shadows, and we can help them both in the short term. That's why we're trying to do a big overhaul of this system, not just a piece here and a piece there.
Well, Eduardo, you've been caught up in this bureaucratic system for years. You came to the U.S. in 1999. You came here to play soccer, as I understand, but you ended up going to both undergraduate and graduate school. And what's your immigration status now?
Yes, my immigration status is the work visa, they call H-1B, which allow workers in the United States to stay for at least 6 years. So I'm in the second leg of this visa, so I apply for my last 3 years on that visa that will expire in 2015. So it's a little bit frustrating in a way that, you know, you do everything correct. You pay your tax. You go by the law. I have a young daughter right now. But what's concerned me is what's going to happen with her in her future if in 2015 I don't have a green card or I don't get a citizenship. Would I start my life after invest more than 10 years in the United States back in Brazil? How this is going to be, which I'm reaching right now, 39 years old.
Well, let's talk a little bit more about that, because as you say, your H-1B visa runs out in 2015. I understand your wife has a visa and hers actually extends longer than that. And then you have a one-year-old daughter who is an American citizen, right?
Yes.
So what will you do? Let's say you don't get your visa renewed. Will you actually leave the U.S. and go back to Brazil and leave your wife and daughter here?
No, definitely not. There is other ways that under the law that you can apply for different visas. As a work visa as well, that is extraordinary ability visa is the one that I'm trying to pursue as well if the green card doesn't work, which, you know, I can prove that I have degrees here in this country. I get some awards. I was a professional player. So all those things combined can help in my process. And I can also get another 3 years of work visa and maybe delay a little bit more and wait for the immigration bill pass and give something in favor of the legal immigrants.
Tamar, I mean, we're talking here about somebody who is trying to go through legal channels and clearly dealing with a system that is broken.
Well, that's true. But, I mean, there's two points here, right? One is we don't actually owe everyone who gets here for a little while the right to stay forever. Now, it sounds like Mr. D'Souza is somebody who we should look at really carefully and want to have stay. But we can't have a system where anyone who gets any kind of foothold here then is guaranteed the right to stay forever, right? Like, no country in the world can do that. So we do want better paths. But let's
more efficient
paths. But it's not about Mr. D'Souza is not a victim. You know, he was lucky enough to get here and figure out how to have a foothold. Now he has to figure out a better way. But the problem with the system is that we promise many too many visas that we can eventually deliver. We do give a lot of people hope that they can get kind of their fingers, you know, on the ledge, so to speak, and then there's no way to climb up. We let in people on H-1B visas, many more people on temporary visas than we have permanent visas to give them. So there's a big funnel effect where you have all these people on temporary visas who can't make the transition to a green card. A lot of them are high-tech workers who come and they have this short-term visa and it seems so great at the beginning and it's easy to get and streamlined and you get hired right away. But then there might be between 500,000 and 1 million people like that waiting for green cards and there aren't enough green cards to give them. And those people hang on in limbo for a long time, unable to change jobs and unable to get promoted and their spouses can't work because they're waiting to get through that funnel. That's one way we promise and can't deliver. We also have a system where we tell siblings and adult children and married children of people who are living here now, those children and adult children who are still abroad, we say to them, you have a right to come, and we give them numbers like they're waiting in a line in a bakery, but then the line moves so slowly that their part of the line can take literally a decade or two till they get to the before they get to the window. And so, you know, we have to kind of make a choice. Do we really want to make so many promises that we can't keep, or do we want to stop making fewer promises and keep the promises?
Well, let me take that to Eduardo. Eduardo, you heard what Tamar is saying. Do you feel as though you had the sense that you were promised a permanent place here because you got a visa?
No, I understand. I wasn't being promised anything, but I kind of disagree a little bit. I've been here for a little while. I've been here for a decade or more that I invest a lot of things in the United States, money, you know, paying tax, everything that everybody do. I understand that. But I believe, too, in the American dream. I think if you do right, you know, you should be rewarded because, hey, this country, I just heard before the person that was being interviewed, this country is made by people that immigrate here. So it's like, you know, when you do the right thing and you correcting, if I'm wrong, you know, what should you do? Should I just so easy to get home and start over a life after you invest more than 10 years in a country? So I kind of that's the frustration for me. You know, like just I came here for a little while and then, okay, thank you very much and go home. It's not the way that works.
Of course, Mr. D'Souza, I understand. You, if I was making the decisions, you would be a very good candidate to stay, and I hope that that's what the decision will come out. I'm just saying we need a system where we, for example, telling people that their adult siblings can have a visa. There are a lot of people who are questioning that now, that immigrants who are here already want to sponsor their adult siblings.
But let's focus the conversation in. Our focus today is on people who, like Mr. D'Souza, who have applied and are trying to either get a permanent resident or at least, or perhaps citizenship, the legal way.
Right.
And what we hear over and over again, not just in Mr. D'Souza's case, but in so many cases, right, is that even if you're applying legally, even as in Eduardo's case, you have a college degree from here. You have an American citizen child and a job where they want to keep you.
Sure.
And your employer wants to get permanent resident status.
He's a good case. He should stay.
Saying is that even then it can take over a decade. The system itself is so bogged down in bureaucratic nonsense.
Wouldn't quarrel with you. I don't think there's anybody, even at any level in the immigration service, who would quarrel with you.
Oh, okay. So there we finally agree, at least. You can agree on that too, Eduardo. It needs to fix the bureaucratic nonsense, right?
Yeah, definitely. What people in my situation are waiting for is for the government, you know, do the right thing. Okay, I understand the illegal issues, and that's something I don't want to even talk about. Everyone has a different life, and I don't blame if they came illegal or not. But in my case, I would like to be rewarded for that because I'm doing the right thing.
You are. And let me end the conversation there because unfortunately we're out of time. But at least we end on agreement. That's Eduardo D'Souza, associate head coach at Longwood University in Virginia, and Tamar Jacoby is the president and CEO of Immigration Works USA. Joined us in here in Washington. Thank you both so much.
Okay. Thank you very much.